Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 what's happening?
Oh, this
is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop it.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Today's topic, but we'll just get into the conversation as I see it.
I'm starting to see a lot of people post on their Facebook pages about indigenous, we being the indigenous people. And that's something that I've been dealing with for the last couple of years, more or less. Within the last few months, I've been really going at an intent with a different type of a passion and a different type of intensity. I had a conversation with my uncle. He lives in Chicago. He's 99 years old, and I was getting some information from him about my father's people, so I could do a ancestry search. And I also had a conversation with my mother, you know, so I could get the names of my grandparents, great grandparents, so I could, you know, see who we were, who we are. And so at the end of the conversation with my uncle, I asked him, does he remember when they were coming up, anybody ever mentioning whether or not, you know, we had, you know, Indian blood in, you know, the general standard line. And he said, yeah, that we were Choctaw, and that kind of, like, blew my wig back because I had been seeing, you know, hearing about Choctaw in my research online, you know, more so than any other tribe, you know, and I found that really interesting. I'm like, okay, cool. So that's on my father's side, you know. I discovered that we're Choctaw. On my mother's side, and by the way, my father and all of his brothers and sisters, my grandmother, my grandfather, on that side, on the Davis side, they lived in Mississippi. My father and my brothers and sisters were born in Tupelo, Mississippi. And I found out my grandfather, I think he may have been born either in the Delta region of Mississippi or born in Alabama and migrated over to that, whatever the case may be. On my father's side, my people are from the Mississippi area. And on my mother's side, my people are from Kentucky, and so around Harsh Cave, Kentucky. So I believe that the tribe that was predominant in that area was like the Cherokee, Chickasaw, whatever case may be. So I'm a part of that bloodline. So Cherokee, Choctaw. Now those are the anglicized versions of the original name. I don't know if their name was in Algonquin or whatever the original tongue was for those particular tribes. But as far as the Choctaw is concerned, which is the anglicized word, or anglicized version, in the original tongue or the tongue prior to the English, it was called, the people were called Choctuma. And on, in terms of the Cherokee, the original name was pronounced Tisaraji, spelled with a T-A-S-A-R-G-I, something like that. Tisaraji. You know, so I'm like, okay, so, you know, since discovering, you know, who I am, who my people, I've been doing some research into those tribes and find it very interesting about some of the things that they did and what their culture was like, you know. And I would encourage everyone that has that's tuned in or not tuned in, but people that look like me, that are mislabeled as African-American, black, Negro, colored, and all these other funny sounding and derogatory adjectives, I would encourage you to look into, you know, your ancestral background history, find out who you are, you know, because, you know, I'm quite sure a lot of you have heard, if you've been a part of the conscious community, you know, one of the things that's always talked around, know yourself. You know, I believe they said, as Malcolm X said, if you don't know your, people that don't know themselves and don't know their past, they're doomed to repeat it. And so, you know, I would encourage everybody, find out who you are, not only for the purpose of knowing who you are, you know, individually, which is a great thing, but on a social level, political level, you know, we've been mislabeled by another group of people deliberately. And within that deliberate mislabeling, mishandling, we have been stripped of our birthright and our inheritance. We've been told that we came from Africa as slaves so that we wouldn't engender no connection to this land right here in this part of the world called the Americas. I don't personally like that term, Americas. That's like, well, of how many Americas is it? Like Africa. How many Africas is it when, you know, and so how many Americas is it? It's North America, Central America, and South America. It's all one continent. So I don't know who came up with that term America, but I don't particularly care for it. So I'm just going to say North America, you know, where I'm from. And so not understanding or not knowing who you are, it's easy for someone to displace you on your own land, you know, strip you of your birthright, strip you of your inheritance, while they live off of your birthright and your inheritance and on your land, and you live like a beggar and a pauper on your own land. See, so and at the same time, while we're still being continually socialized into this African-American identity, and, you know, and the holidays that come up, the Black History Month, and all these things that further keep us away from who we really are, you got to be mindful of that. You know, I mean, it's been a part of the socialization that we've been exposed to, and it's an ongoing campaign. So you have to really protect your mind, protect yourself, protect your psyche against you know, being bombarded with those falsehoods. So it's important that you know who you are. So that's a topic that's been very near to my heart, you know. So if anyone has any comment that's listening on the lines, you want to call in, come on, call on in and give me some feedback, because right now it's like I feel like I'm talking to myself. I'm new to this blog talk radio situation, so I don't know exactly if anyone can hear me or whatever the case may be, but if you can hear, you know, somebody call in, let me know you're there.
Much love, brother. You're not by yourself. Nah, we listening in.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yes, this is Empress, and I definitely want to congratulate you on your show, and this is a great topic. You know, we love talking about the we are the true natives and the indigenous of the land, you know, so I'm loving it already. You weren't talking to yourself, you were just listening in. And we got I'm open your Slim Bella's mic, Bella's mic as well.
Love and light, much love, much respect to you. Congratulations, Brent.
I appreciate that. I'm feeling the energy. I'm feeling the love energy. I'm feeling love right about now. So I appreciate.
Oh, you don't get the love on the Royal Family Network. Bleed that.
Yeah.
But I did want to comment a little bit on that topic. I feel like it is very, very important. To be honest, that's why my daddy been a crackhead for 28 years of my life. I'm 31 years old now. Took me a while to try to figure out what his pain was. I was 13 years old when I started paying attention to my dad. He's actually mixed. And my grandmother and grandfather, they were dark as hell. So I started questioning, like, why is my daddy so light-skinned and y'all so dark? And that's when I found out that my daddy was actually adopted. He's very, very, very sensitive guy, as well as me and my son, and we picked that up from him, and that really, really pains him. And being the daughter of him, I know how much it hurt, because I actually want, if I see a picture of them, that'll make my day. We don't know where we come from, so-called come from as a people, but when it becomes so personal to the point that you don't even know who your grandmother or grandfather, or in my dad's case, his mom and dad is, period. You know, that kind of hurts. And the only information that I have about his parents is that his grandmother was white and his granddad was black, which when I first woke up, it kind of irked me, because I'm like, oh, they blood is running through my veins, you know, or whatever. But I came to accept who I am. I don't know too much about my ancestral history or whatever, but I definitely need to go ahead and do that too. I have, honestly, tell me where you got yours done at, because I've been a little bit afraid, because I'm like, what if they use my slob or something to make a copy of me? I just don't trust these people. You know, so how can I find out where I come from and this accurate information? Because how do I know that whatever they send me will be accurate? Because they can still be lying to try to place me somewhere else or my people somewhere else.
Yeah, well, you know, sis, I haven't done a DNA test, because I've done a little, you know, like research. I'll say I do research. I just kind of get on the computer, start reading, and stuff pops up. Stuff comes up,
right.
people post stuff on my Facebook, and so I kind of like, oh wow, that's interesting. And I found I've come across some information that says that those DNA tests, you got to be careful with them, because just like you said, they can be manipulated. And how accurate can they actually be when you don't know the process that's being used? And you know, you can't look at your DNA and see. I mean, who can? You know, for me, it's just like a bunch of BS. Like, how you gonna look at my DNA and say it's or it's that? Where you get that? Where you get that from? You know, so again, if these people have been as diabolical as they've been, you know, and I'm not trying to throw no stones, I'm just calling it like I see it. So if they've been as diabolical as they've been, why all of a sudden is it gonna change? Why are they gonna like? Oh, we're gonna help you figure out who you are, when they've been the culprit, they've been. You know, the ones that have helped not know who you are. So you got to be careful with that. I didn't use the DNA test. I talked to my uncle. Fortunately for me, you know, I knew my father raised me. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. My father raised me, right? But, my mother, she left town when I was 5 years old. I moved in with my father in 85, back in the 50s. And my mother, she lives in Sacramento, but you know, I live with my father. I came to California, stayed for a while. So I know my people on both sides. And for me, you know, my father had a big family. It was 14 of them, you know, and they dispersed from Mississippi throughout the whole of the, the so-called country. So I was talking to my uncle that lives in Chicago. He's the second cousin. I think it's like about five of them. My father's brothers and sisters, two uncles and three aunts. And my Uncle Jesse, who lives in Chicago, is 99 years old. He's the second oldest. And I found the oldest of my father's clan, my Uncle George. I grew up around him in Indianapolis. So, but I was talking to my Uncle Jesse, and he's the one that told me, you know, I've been doing some stuff, research on, you know, Ancestry.com, and it's another site I went to that's free. And, I said, have you heard anything about the Indians, you know, that sermonizing? And he said, yeah, Choctaw. So that, like, blew my wig back. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, someone that confirmed what I was, you know, like, I was feeling like, you know, I'm not African-American. I'm not Negro. I'm not black. I'm not colored. You know, I dealt with the Morris dynamic, and I was like, still not certain on that.
But I wasn't 100% certain. Not knocking this thing, but if you don't feel right to me, it just ain't. I just can't roll with it like that. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. And that's why they say when the elder die, a library burned to the ground because they hold the information.
Yeah, but you know what, sis? Be that as it may, you know, like I said, for me, I was fortunate enough to be able to talk to one, you know, my uncle, who's 99 years old, who was around back then.
Right.
And he took the stocks off. So that resonated real strong with me. And then when I talked to my mother, and, you know, I found out that they were from Hartsfield, Kentucky. Well, I did some research, and the people that inhabit that basic area were predominantly the Chickasaw people. So that was good for me, yes. You know what I'm saying? That was good enough for me. So, but at the same time, as well, I think you have to go into your own Akashic record. You feel me? You got to go in to yourself and ask your higher self, hey, listen, I didn't know my father. Or, you know, certain, you did have a father and you didn't have a mother. That's a fact. Whether you know him or not, you had a mother and a father, as we all have. So you can kind of go into your own DNA. You know what I'm saying? People, oh, now you're going to set that yourself. But it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And ask, you know, and pull out information from there. You know, that would be my question to you. Now, as far as the DNA, I'm not, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, like sitting on a piece of cotton or a piece of glass or a swab and sitting up with somebody that I don't even know and having them give me
right.
Feedback. I ain't too much with that one, so that's my spin on it.
Oh, I could dig that.
Okay. So, whoever else has got a question, comment, you know, rebuttal, whatever, just, you know, call in. Got the number, call in. Appreciate everybody that has tuned in to the show. I appreciate the support I'm getting from the sisters. I appreciate Michelle for allowing me to have this opportunity to be on her platform. I think she's a very dynamic, strong, positive energy. You know, I mean, her energy duplicated amongst the sisters, amongst my sisters, globally. Not just locally, but globally. You know, she's a wonderful spirit, and we've had one conversation. But I've looked at many of her posts on Facebook, and you know, I'm like, yeah, okay, all right. What the sister saying? I've learned just more about myself just from looking at her posts. So, I really appreciate that. So, whoever, feel free to chime in.
I'm going to say thank you, Brother Brent.
Yes, definitely.
I appreciate all my family, love all our family. We in this together, and you know, it's important that I had to block a couple people today because of their ignorance, you know. On this everybody not African thing, you know what I'm saying? People are trying to hold on to that like Christianity. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you don't have yourself first, because that's all, that's all you need is you.
Yeah,
as long as you know who you are and what it is that you, you know, the ancestors has shown you, that's really all that matters, you know. And some people get mad at what I post. I post what I feel, and
yeah,
that's just what it is. You know, you like it or you don't.
You know, and you know that, sis, that's the uniqueness of us individually. You know, and I'm learning. I'm still learning. You know, I haven't got this whole me thing figured out. You know, and you know, it's an interesting journey for me personally. You know, very interesting journey. So you know, and again, you post what you post.
Everybody's not going to like it. They don't have to. You know, it doesn't, your being doesn't require them to like what you post. Just that simple thing. And there's no disrespect to anybody, sis. And I'm kind of big on that. You know, I don't want anybody to think, you know, that I'm rolling with some kind of arrogance. But hey, if that comes in your head, then guess what? That's in your head. It's got nothing to do with me. And I always tell people that, like, look, whatever you got going on in your head about me ain't got nothing to do with me. That's your business. So, you know, keep it to yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you feel like you want to share something with me, I'll be more than happy to listen, because I process all kinds of data throughout the course of the day. You know, that's just my get down, you know. And that's for me, because, again, I'm here, in my opinion, you know, I'm here to figure me out. I'm not here to figure out anybody else, you know. But what I do, when I encounter other people, I look, I engage them like, okay, that's me over there as them. It's a mirror. Whoever it is, it's like, okay, you're a reflection of me. You see, so I'm trying to see what's going on. What am I saying over there? What am I saying to myself as you? You know, because it's all about me, not in an arrogant way. But with me, it's about me. I can't be all in your business trying to be you. You got to be you. You know what I'm saying? And so I respect that. And it's kind of fun. You know, it's kind of fun being around all this energy like this.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about yourself as far as what you're doing now and, you know, as far as
Okay. Well, sis,
yeah, we're gonna get in your business.
y'all want to be in my business? Okay. You see,
right.
Y'all more than qualified. Well, I'm a filmmaker. Let me say that. I'm a filmmaker, right? And I'm in the business of making films because the film is a very transformative and very alchemical paradigm. You know, I'm an avid moviegoer, so, you know, while I'm in the film, while I'm in the movie, I study what's going on, especially after I've done some research into the effects of film on the human brain and the human psyche. There's a science called, neurocinematic, you know, and I discovered for me that that's a way for me to be able to use this mechanism to transform myself and help other people transform themselves. You can use this as a, it can be used as a tool for change. So that's why I like film. I mean, I've always, even as a kid growing up, I loved watching TV. I was crazy about science fiction. And I like scary movies, even though they scared me to death, but I would watch them. You know, so that was a part of me. So I'm a filmmaker. I'm in the process of writing a script for a comedy right now. I'm spoofing the movie Training Day. My movie is called Training Wheels Day. You know, so it's a comedy. Plus, I have some other projects that I've done treatment for. You know, but right now, to get to the point where I'm able to afford making movies, I have this humanitarian campaign I got going on called Show Some Love with a Hug, and you can go on Facebook and you can see it. And what I've done is I've created a honorary agreement between brothers and law enforcement. It's called Show a Brother and a Cop Some Love. And what that's for is, you know, there's been an incident of, you know, police use of deadly force against brothers, unlike anyone else. So, you know, when you see it, you know, a couple of months ago when you saw the shooting in Carolina, the brother got shot there, and then the brother got shot in Minnesota, you know, and then, you know, the brother that got killed in person a couple of years back and all of that madness, and the brother got shot by law enforcement I think it was in Oklahoma, Tulsa, you know. And when you see that, that kind of pulls at your heartstring, like, wow. And then at the same time, me being a brother, notice I didn't say black man because I'm divorcing that myself using that term. But me being a brother, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, it can happen to me, you know, and so I'm concerned, you know. So I see people protesting, you know, and people are reaching out protesting. It's based upon two things. It's pain and it's fear, you know. So they get out, and that's how they process what they see about this situation. So I said, well, man, what can I do? What do I do? And what's happening here? How do we? Because one brother gets shot, then the brother that got shot down, in Baton Rouge. You know, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, you know, I got to the point where I stopped looking at that stuff on my Facebook. And I said, I don't want to see another, because it's frustrating me, and it's like I want to go do something, but that negative self say, yeah, let's go do something, you know, foolish. And I'm like, I have to tell myself, like, wait a minute, you can't take on all the police departments across the country. Is that what you're going to do? Not going to work. You know what I'm saying? So you get frustrated. So what can I do? What do I do? And so I had to gather myself back into myself, you know, and say, okay, focus on what you can do. You don't look at, you know, when you look at the problem, it seems insurmountable. Like, oh, man, police all over the country killing brothers. What do I do? You pull yourself back into yourself and see what you can do locally. So I came up with this concept about Show a Brother and Show a Cop some Love. It's an honorary agreement. Campaign is the reintroduction of love. And I understand that love being the most abundant resource in the universe, it's the least expensive, you know, to obtain. And so for the purpose of the campaign that I got going, we're just simply asking that people, you know, show some love with a gesture, with the gesture of a hug. That's simple. It's just that simple, you know. But with law enforcement, what I hope to achieve is getting law enforcement and brothers together in a room so that they can have a conversation. And within the dynamic of that conversation, they'll both be able to see each other on a common ground. And that common ground is called humanity, you know. And so that's the project I'm working on now. I've scheduled we put together a press conference on the 28th of this month here in Los Angeles, downtown at City Hall. I've invited the mayor, the chief police, the sheriff, public officials, councilmen, you know, things of that nature, and members of the community to introduce this honorary agreement. Now, this is not nothing mandatory that police officers or brothers have to follow, but I've got it printed. You can go on my Facebook page, you can see it. Yeah, they can just—it's just something for them to focus on. It's a point of focus, you know. Again, my whole campaign is about pushing some love. Now, a lot of people, when I talk to, you know, some brothers are like, "Man, hug the police." I'm not going to do it. I'm like, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? As brothers, I get it. You know, people have this attitude of indifference and hostility towards police officers. And then they look at me like, oh, you hugging the police now? What's up with you? Like, what's always been up with me, you know? I'm on my journey. And my journey has brought me to this point. So I'm not concerned with the people that, oh, man, you know, you hugging the police, we ain't messing with you. Okay, well, cool. You never was really messing with me anyway, so it ain't no big major loss to me, you know. But, again, this is where my energy is taking me, and so I'm gonna follow through on it, you know, where I'm at. But again, my ultimate goal is to get into being a producer of film. You know, I want to produce some top notch film projects. You know, and again, and then I have another therapeutic side of the filmmaking industry, like I was discussing with the sister a couple of days ago. As a people, you know, this question always comes up, you know, the question and the statement, how can we come together, right? And that question has haunted me, like, wow, when we see a tragedy, we see that we're the most, I feel like we're the most tragic people on the planet right now. Like, you know, our resources, we don't have the resources, you know, we're in poverty, and all kinds of stuff is going on with us. I'm like, wow, what's happening with our people? What can I do about it? And that's a big question. What can I do about what's going on with our people? That's kind of an arrogant question. Who am I? You know, but I can do what I, all I can do is what I can do. You know, I can come up with ideas and share with whoever is willing to listen. And that's about it. I can't make anybody do anything. But at the same time, what I understand about what's going on in the world is, you know, we live in a world where people are utilizing power. And so I had to ask myself, well, what's my power? And what other powers am I dealing with? What powers might I be particularly going up against? And how do I handle it? So it's about power. That was that's what came to me, like, okay, about power. So I go into myself and see, well, what kind of power do I have? What power do I have? So now I had the power to create these, I had the power to come up with these ideas and implement them. See, that's my power. When the question comes up about, well, what can we do or what can be done to help our people? We need to change and all this other stuff. I say, well, in studying myself and going through, you know, all my trials, my tribulations, and my experiences and so forth and so on, you know, it has shown me some things. And so I see a lot of people that look like me, kind of, we all kind of suffer from a similar condition. And as a people, we haven't felt relevant. So how do we feel relevant? You know, people that feel good about themselves, it kind of shows in their conduct and their activities. You know, and so I see us overall like, some of us is doing okay, but for the most part, it doesn't seem like the majority of us is doing okay. So, you know, how do we address that? Well, one person at a time. So I came up with this idea came to me about, you know, like I say, I go to the movies a lot, and the same thing runs through most movies. There's always a hero and a villain, you know, and we invariably always root for the hero against the villain. And so when I started looking at that, I'm like, wait a minute. I've never seen myself as a hero. I always see, you know, when the term hero comes up in my, you know, in my consciousness, it's always somebody else. It's never me. So I had to come to that realization, like, wait a minute, hold on. So now how do I become a hero? You know what I'm saying? I mean, these characters that we see in the movies are fictional, but they carry a lot, you know, they carry a lot of power because of the power of film and the effect that it have on your brain and your psyche. So I came up with, well, wait a minute. What would it be like if I could start making film or help design a specific type of a short film for people to see themselves as a hero, write themselves a script where they're the hero, you know? And in my mind, it made me think that this is kind of like a shortcut to us getting some sort of a change or, you know, going inside ourselves and, you know, rearranging the furniture in our psyche. You know, we're depicted in other people's stories about us kind of like in a pigeonhole category, pimps, hoes, rappers, you know, criminals, so forth and so on. And then when we are cast in a heroic light, it's almost unbelievable. It's, you know, that's how it affects him. Like, yeah, he's a good guy, man. It's like us being a good guy ain't as good as a white boy being a good guy. You know, so those are the things that go through my head. So I'm saying, okay, all right, I understand that we've been socialized into a certain way of thinking, and we've been constantly bombarded energy that keeps us on a kind of a certain vibration. So I'm saying, wait a minute, we got to break up out of that. And so, you know, I've delved into some other, you know, techniques, to try to, you know, raise my own personal, how can I say it, my own personal self-identity, how I see myself, my own esteem, you know. So anything that I do that I want to share with anybody else is basically things that I have done myself to, you know, to raise my own self esteem up and, my awareness about myself. Everything I do, I do it with me for the purpose of raising me up. And so I'm seeing, like, okay, well, if this can work for me individually, how can I implement it where it can have a collective value? That's, you know, I can use a technique or a strategy collectively. Well, film. Very powerful. So that's what I'm working on. So that's who I am. You know what I'm saying? Don't need to go into too much background about where I came from. You know, I went through some things like a lot of people went through, you know, issue with drugs and all of that. That's no longer an issue in my life. But I've been down that road. Hey, so I wasn't, you know, it did for me what it did, and that was a degree. I call it a degree. Whatever I went through in my life, you know, people say, oh, man, you was a drug addict, you was homeless. Yeah, all of that. But those were degrees for me. See, I don't look at them as something bad. So that's where I am today. I'm a filmmaker. You know, I'm a student of the study of self. But since I love film, I love watching them, I want to make them. And I've been on some movie sets. In fact, a business associate of mine, you know, I partially financed a web series that he created. It's a comedy. It's about a vampire. He's a brother. He's not a traditional vampire. He doesn't bite people in the neck. He bites women on their tushies, you know, women with nice derrieres. It's called Vampire. So this is a web series that we filmed and put up, but we took it down. You know, we just wanted to see what kind of response we would get. So I'm turned all the way on and turned up about the whole film industry. Like, I live here in L.A., and I've been in, you know, I've been on movie sets. I've been in some movies, you know, saying that's extra. And it's just the whole energy of it. I just love it. That's what I want to do. And so that's who I am. But also in that too, you know, I've done a lot of studying into, you know, studying law and contracts and things, legal matters. So I'm somewhat knowledgeable in that area, you know, because I've had to assist myself and other people when they've had issues in that arena. So, you know, that's another lane that I've traveled in as well. So that's who I am. I'm an individual that wants to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And I want to be engaged with other people that's like on the same vibe that I'm on. And, you know, if we can do it together, fine. If we can't, it's still okay. You know, everybody can't work with everybody. That's the way it is. No big deal, nothing to fall out about, nothing to lose no sleep over. It just is what it is. So that's who I am. Big Brent, as I'm known here, or O-Star, as a lot of people know me as around the city. You know, that's my stage name. I call myself O-Star the Great, you know, but I prefer, at this point, you know, I've used that. I kind of use it as an escape from Brent, but now I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, Brent's pretty cool. When I went and looked up what Brent means, it means Holy One and a Steve Hill. I said, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, not that I'm holier than anyone else, because I know the term Holy One only means holistic. So I'm a whole one. I'm the whole one. So that's where I'm at with it, with me. And that's kind of who I am. You know, I'm evolving daily. You know, so that's what's happening with me. That's what I'm doing out here. What I'm doing over here in the beautiful city of Los Angeles, in the great state of California, the Golden State. You know, and and I like to travel. So, Sister Michelle, I was in Detroit back in, what was it, 2014, and you know, that Detroit has a certain kind of a mystique about it that I like. So, you know, I want to get back that way. I want to get to New York, and you know, a couple of places I need to get to within the next couple of months or so. I just need to go there. I'm feeling drawn to those areas. So that's what's happening with me, y'all. You still there?
Yeah, she probably hit the mute button, but I got a question for you. What brought you to, like, the path of enlightenment? Like, what was your journey?
You know, sis, that's a good question. And I guess the best answer I could give you is the path of enlightenment brought me to itself.
Mm-hmm.
The path itself brought me to itself, you know. And I answer questions in a kind of an abstract way, you know, because that's kind of how my mind works. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on a mental level, on a spiritual level, you know, that's the abstract answer. On a physical level, I started out, you know, my growth pattern was my father was a preacher, so I was introduced to Christianity, and I went through that degree, you know, and it carried me to certain places, you know, and then after I kind of moved away from that, you know, I kind of got hooked up with the Nation of Islam. You know, that started to reveal some things to me as well. But I eventually moved on from that degree. And then
right.
I kind of moved into the Afrocentric conscious community, what have you, that I'm sure you're aware of. And that revealed mm-hmm. some things to me. You know, and then about 2007, I had moved back to L.A. because I had moved back east for a while, about 8 or 9 months, almost a year. But, you know, funny thing is I go back that way, I just can't stay there. I got to come back to L.A. because my hometown is just nothing like L.A. It's just too small. You know, I've been in L.A. since the early 80s, 1981, to be specific. And it's just different from where I grew up at. You know, I guess actually I grew up out here in L.A. because I was like 24, 25 when I got here, so. You know, I was growing up some more, you know. I think the most intense period of my life was out here in L.A., you know. Formative years was back in Indy, but my, you know, intense growing up was out here. So anyway, I got back out here, and I think it was 07, and I got introduced to, I went to prison in 97. I was there from 97 to 99, and so that was a degree, that was a path, you know, that was enlightenment bringing me through that degree. And so fast-forwarding to like about 2007, after I got out of prison, that was for the first time in my life I could really sit down and just read. I had no responsibilities, didn't have to worry about food, clothing, and shelter. The only thing I had to concern myself with is staying away from the foolishness that goes on in prison. You know, it's real easy, and the rules of engagement is way different in there than it is out here on the street. You know, people get killed in prison for little things that out here in the street, you get out, man, laugh it off, right? But in prison, it can cost you your life. And you got to always be on guard. You know what I'm saying? And so, but again, I had an opportunity to sit down and do some reading uninterrupted, you know, and this is the first time in my life I've been able, that was the first time in my life that I was able to do that. So I owe a sense of gratitude to that period, to enlightenment for bringing me through that degree. And so around 2007, I was introduced to the more science dynamic. And mm-hmm. you know, that kind of really took me to another level, you know. And I enjoyed that, but I moved on from that as well. So now, when I say I moved on, I don't want it to be assumed that I'm being slightly more science or that whole school of thought. I'm not. I'm just, for me, I kind of grew beyond that. Not that I'm bigger, better, smarter, whatever the case may be. It's just, you know, or I grew beyond some of the people that were presenting it. I'll just say it like that. I'll leave it at that. But I'm thankful to it. Again, nothing bad to say about it. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for the experience that I had with it. But now I'm in this space I'm in right now. you know, and it's an intense study of knowing myself. It's like I got to, you know, I have to know me, you know, and so that's my religion now, is knowing me, knowledge of self. That's my religion, along with being a filmmaker, you know, and you know, I'm into some community activism. I don't like to use worn out terms. I don't like to use necessarily use terms, you know, relative to us as a people and what we do. To me, that seem worn out or that haven't really, in my opinion, accomplished anything. So I don't want to associate myself with something out there hasn't really been successful, you know. But I'm in activism, you know what I'm saying? I'll have a conversation with whomever. And if I can help somebody, I don't go out looking for people to help, you know what I'm saying? That's not how I do it. But if I encounter, and you go, you know, I mean, I'm out in the streets all day, every day, and I'm going to encounter somebody that can benefit from my presence, it's like I can benefit from theirs. And that's the way I look at it. If I can have a conversation with somebody and they are better off from the conversation, then, hey, what else can I do? What more do I need to do? You know? So that's how I came, just basically to ask you a question. You know, that's how I was able to even understand what you just even said, enlightenment. So that was my journey. And so it's still that enlightened path, as it were, it's still drawing me, still pulling me, still tugging. You know, I'm on it, I'm in it, it's in me, it's on me, and that's the way it is. And I'm always interested in other people's stories, how they got where they are, because, you know, I can see everybody has a uniqueness that I really just kind of like respect.
Mm-hmm.
I respect everybody's uniqueness. It's just like, wow, that's him over there, and this is me over here, but really we're kind of like one and the same, if you can follow that reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I hope that, did that kind of answer your question, sis?
Yeah, it definitely answered the question. It actually reminded me of Buddha's story. I remember upon my awakening, and I ran across the story of how Buddha had received an enlightenment. And yeah, it was actually really cool. You know, they say he was like an emperor, and he had all the money and riches that he had, but he wasn't happy. He couldn't. You know, the money wasn't making him happy. His religion wasn't making him happy on the inside. So it was said that he just gave everything away and basically went on a search for happiness. So he tried or went to all these different types of religions and different places to try to find that. And I done ran across a lot of things. And I take from each religion, actually, because there's some truth in all of them, you know. But
right.
Anyway. He found a tree, and what he did was bow to, before that, he tried fasting and everything, and it was said that he almost died from fasting and starving himself. And he went and sat up under a tree, and he vowed that he wasn't going to move until he found this happiness on the inside of him. And yeah, I guess he was sitting in Indian style, and that's where the, you know, the whole meditative thing comes in, because if you think about it, and you're just sitting there thinking about this one thing, you know, they said it was like an aha moment. I can't think of his name before Buddha, but whenever he became spiritually awakened, like that aha moment or whatever, that's when he became known as Buddha. So, yes, definitely answers the question. And I feel like that's going to be all of our journeys. You know, just because I'm not a Christian or not anything else don't mean that I won't find some information in it or research it or read it. You know, I'm not only curious, I'm nosy as hell. I like to know other people's stories as well. And I don't knock other people. And honestly, I don't care if people knock me, you know. But it is what it is. I feel like we all on the same path, just different. We're all going the same place, just different paths. You know,
exactly.
Who knows if you will ever know? But the key is know thyself. You know thyself.
That's it. You know, and you know, and what the beauty in that sense is this: if we can get away from, if we can get away from the vibrations of what society says, you know, it's a doggy dog. We constantly competing like, now on this path, listen, everybody's a winner on their path. Ain't no, your path ain't greater than mine. My path
right.
ain't greater than you. My path ain't less than yours. Your path, there's no comparison. And that's the beauty.
Right.
You know, we don't have to compare for the sake of competition, but we can compare for the sake of commonality. Like, oh, wow, aha moment. I like communicating with people because I get to, oh, wow, aha moment. And I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, that it just is what it is. And, but I don't knock what people say, oh, that's negative, because it's just energy. You know, it's just, it may be disagreeable. I said, well, why is it disagreeable to me? See? And so this is all on this learning curve. This is the learning curve. And, you know, when you reference the Buddha, he sat upon, I think it was a Bodhi tree. You know what I'm saying? And Buddha wasn't his name. That's just a title for that character, for that energy.
Right. Like Christ. That's not even a name. It's, yeah.
You know, and all of the mythologies, all the stories, the mythologies is about us. It's us. It's all about us. So, it behooves one to find yourself in the story of Jesus. Find yourself in the story of Buddha. Find yourself in the story of Muhammad. You know, Abraham. Find yourself
right.
in all these, you right there. You're there. You know? You're there. I'm looking forward to continuing on this path of this show as I see it. And I know the audience is getting larger, but I'm really having a great time having a conversation with you, so I like to run my mouth anyway. This is perfect.
Mm-hmm. You feel writing.
yeah, this is perfect for me, you know. But understanding that, you know, it's another dynamic too, because we're going out on the airways and we're putting energy into the atmosphere.
Right.
And energy doesn't return void. Energy doesn't waste itself. There's no such thing as a waste of energy. See, so, hey. There it is, and it is exactly what it is. So, well, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. If anybody has any parting shots they want to say, now's the time to get in.
You press one.
I didn't hear you say again.
No, I was saying press one to get in on a call. They would press one.
Okay, thanks, sis. Yes. So press one if you're listening. If you have a comment, press one and holler at us, and I promise we will holler back.
Wow.
So, but anyway, if you want to chit-chat with me, you can go to my Facebook page, Brent Lee Davis Base, boom, Facebook. I got an Instagram account. It's called Show Some Love with a Hug. You see the pictures I post. You kind of see what I'm doing, you know. If you're interested in supporting, hey, I'm all in for the support. And anybody that has anything that I can support, don't hesitate to bring it to my attention, you know, because I can't be supported without showing support. Like Martin Luther King said, one, if you wanna have a friend, you must first show yourself friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. So, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Good show, Brent.
Thank you. Is Michelle tuned in? Is she still in?
I don't know.
Huh?
She ain't trying to make me in yet.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sign off because I'm going to go and do what we do when we get to this stage of the game, and it's called hungry. I'm going to give you something to eat.
Oh, yes, it is that time. And you have a good one. Much love, much respect to you.
Same to you, sis. You know,
yeah.
Do you do a show on here, or do you got a Facebook we can communicate back and forth?
Yeah, I'm actually on a panel on Tuesdays for I Am Her. And
okay.
They call me Slim Bella, but you can find me on Facebook as Bella Austin, B-E-L-L-A.
Let me type it in right now. B-E-L-L-A. Oh, okay, I got you. It popped right
all
up.
All right.
Bella Austin.
Yep. That's his I.
Okay,
am her.
Sis. That is you. Wait a minute, are we friends? Oh, you look like somebody that I'm a friend with. What
somebody,
are you? Are you in Detroit as well?
Am I in what?
Are you in Detroit?
Oh, no,
too?
In Detroit? No, I'm actually right next to St. Louis. I'm here in Illinois, borderline, right next to St. Louis.
You St. Louis?
Yeah, that's where I'm from, but I'm actually in Cahokia. Get out of Dodge. What do you know about my hood?
Man, I've been through St. Louis, East St. Louis. You'd be surprised by me, sis. But you know what? I was going to ask you that, too. Have you been to the mound?
To Cahokia Mound?
Of course you have, because you called it.
No, you know what? I actually haven't. I've been
woke,
though. I've really been meaning to get over there.
Oh, you know what? I'm telling you, about, let's see, back in, I think it was August, you know, me and my little crew, I be going, you know, I'm a vendor. We sell T-shirts and stuff, and I'm a ticket broker as well. We went down to New Orleans for the Essence Festival back in August, right? And on the way back, you know, we're driving through Louisiana, and, you know, the swamplands. And as I'm riding, I'm always looking around and reflecting, like, man, our people was all up and through here. And then when we crossed the Mississippi River, I'm like, you know what? This is the original Nile here. And, you know, our people is always trying to go over to Egypt and, you know, sponsoring tours of Egypt. I'm like, you know what? I want to put together a tour down the Mississippi River. So this, a lot of our history is right there you know, the pyramids and miles all up and down the Mississippi that we haven't discovered yet.
And you know what? I wonder what's in that water, because I think it was my son and my sister, they were telling me at the mounds, somewhere where some water at, you could actually see the top of, I guess, some type of shelters that they had back there. But it's funny because Cahokia Mounds is actually in Fairmount City, but I live in Cahokia, which makes me feel like this whole area was probably called Cahokia at one point in time.
You know, and it was, I can't say it was, but, you know, Cahokia was an Indian tribe, but they were all a part of that mound-building Mississippian culture. You feel me?
Yeah, and then I used to go to Cahokia High School, and they're called Cahokia Comanches. And, oh, my God, that's crazy. I'm looking at his face now, and his nose is really big. It was an Indian with the feathers on his head. That's the Cahokia Comanche. It's the symbol. Wow. Yeah.
See, sis, you right there with the power.
I am, and I'm about to be a metal detector, too. I'm finna start being, literally.
So you about to start doing what?
Digging. I said I thought about me a metal detector. Like, I always wanted a metal detector.
Wow, that's deep. So you got some archaeology in your blood, sis.
I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if people say, oh, the ancestors lead you that way. The ancestors, you are the ancestors. We are the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Our skin. I mean, let me break it down to you like this. Cause this is, when I look at that whole ancestry thing, yeah, I got a mother and a father, but guess what? The skin that's on my bones is the skin that my mother and my father gave me.
You know what? You just took the words out of my mouth in a different way. And when they say we are the ancestors, that's exactly what it means. Like, you come from it. You are a part of it. My son will be one. I'm one. We are the ancestors. We are one.
We are the
ancestors. Transformed energy, like, you know.
You know what I'm saying, sis? Because, you know, I look at this whole physical dimension. People say, oh, this is an illusion. And I understand what it means when it says illusion. Don't mean it's not real. Illusion is just a word that's other than the unseen realm. That's the way I take it, right? But this physical dimension, you know, like they say, you know, the spiritual realm is infinite and eternal. But guess what? So is this physical world, because this skin that I'm in has always been. I haven't always been. But this skin, I've always been.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because this is the skin of my mother and my father, which they got the skin from their mother and their father, who got it from their mother and their father, who got it from,
what?
Come on now.
The skin, the blood, the DNA, what they call the DNA, all of it.
This skin,
like,
has
I
all.
About it. I wrote about it when I was pregnant with my son, and it was just like, this is a little me. Like, people, especially I talk to men about it, it's like, dude, I don't care what nobody says to me. I am a female. I had a whole baby in my stomach. I had a whole human, a whole another soul. This dude got eyes, a heart, like that was inside of my stomach. That's still weird to me. And my baby, 11 years old, Caleb, put some on your arm.
And you know what, sis? And, mm-hmm. and you had an experience that I can't begin to understand as a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I have a whole lot of regard for women. You know, I'm learning to have a whole lot of, cause, you know, people say, if somebody asks me, who's God? I say, my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. That's me. I'm not, my father was instrumental. And it's crazy, because people look at me and say, boy, you look just like your daddy. But we know the genetic material supplied by my father, my mother had to take that material and make what I am, make it what it is.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's some deep shit. Excuse my print.
No. Yes, it definitely is. And I seen a post before on Facebook, and it was some twins. They were inside the womb. And one of them was calling his mom God, like, this is God. I don't want to leave out of here. I get everything I need here. God takes care of me. But the other twin was like, how do you know that's God? How do you know what's on the outside? Let's go on the outside and see what happens outside, you know. And the other one was like, well, I think we'll have to defend for ourselves. We're straight right now. Here's God. And it was just crazy, the back and forth that the set of twins had. Go see if any tomatoes on that plant can. It was cold. They froze.
Yeah. That's see, stuff like that is, you know, it's like I'm about out of stuff. I just, you know, that's the best way I can put it. I'm about all
what
that.
You say you oh what?
I'm about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. You know, I mean,
okay.
Mother
was God before they start lying to you.
Yeah.
I like
them. And even, you know, all cultures have. No, I text you. Okay. All right. Yeah, you know, a lot of ancient cultures, modern religions, all they did was they just removed the matriarchal figure and replaced it with a patriarchal figure.
Yeah.
But when you research, you know, father and these patriarchal symbols, when you research the words, they all go back to mother.
Even if you look at the word
matter, the word matter has what? M-A in it, ma, which is mother, mater. The Latin word for matter is mater, which is, you know, mater, mother, the same word where we get mother from. See, so, and that's not,
and it's,
not it's,
Now, it's right there in our face, like Mother Earth, Mother Africa. How is Earth going to be called the mother, but the men so-called rule it? Like, it's like a contradictory.
It is. But, you know, hey, that's where we've been. So we had a, you know, it's like, we got to have, it seems like we got to have this opportunity to experience whatever can be thought of. Somebody got to experience it. Whether it be an individual or a group of individuals, you know what I'm saying? It's a dynamic that works, that works through the individual as well as runs through the group. You know,
right.
So that's what it is. I mean, we kind of like, I feel like those of us that, you know, kind of open to certain concepts and ideas, we're on the cutting edge. We're it's like groundbreaking territory. And I'm kind of excited about what I'm saying. You know, like, future holds, like, what is it going to look like? You know, we'll see what technology is. And it's like, okay, what is it going to look like? And I just want to be around just to see a little bit of it. And then I want to get on. Okay, well, I'm putting, you know, let me get on up out of here. Let me take my Earth suit off and put my space suit back on.
Right.
What that look like? You know. Anyway, sis, listen. I'm about to go get me something to eat, me and my girl. And I appreciate you. I pulled you up on Facebook. I sent you a friend request so you can hit me back. And then on Tuesday, I'm gonna tune into y'all's shows and we're just gonna have a good old time.
All righty then. Welcome to the spell.
All right, sister. All
right, much love. 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 Much love.